Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, a weekly look at the issues surrounding Minnesota military service members, families, and employers. I'm Tom Lyons. In today's show, we talk to Major Blaine Effort from the Minnesota National Guard about the National Guard's 374th birthday. Ken Rail joins us to talk about Southeast Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon community. And finally, we take a look at the Positive Perspectives Assistance Dogs with Linda Ball. All this and more on today's Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Check our podcast at today's show and all our shows on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Let's get started with a quick message from four-star General Craig McKinley, Chief of the National Guard.
On December 13th, our National Guard celebrates 374 years of service. This continues a heritage that began in 1636 when the Massachusetts Bay Colony's militia companies were organized into three regiments and became our first organized defense force. Thousands of National Guardsmen and women from around the country continue to build on this proud heritage as they serve overseas and perform missions their predecessors in the Massachusetts colony could never have envisioned. At the same time, we continue to support our governors here at home, performing critical missions to defend the homeland against attacks on our own soil and support our civil authorities when disasters strike. The National Guard has never been more central to our nation's defense or more important to the success of our Army and Air Force. The respect and gratitude shown by the American people for our citizen soldiers and airmen has never been greater. Without the support of our great families and employers, our service members could not do all that they do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They are an essential part of the National Guard's support to this great nation. I extend my heartfelt gratitude to the citizen soldiers and airmen who continue to ensure the National Guard is a great value for America. Happy birthday, National Guard.
That was General Craig McKinley, Chief of the National Guard, Washington, D.C. Here to talk with us about the National Guard's 374th birthday is Major Blaine Effort. He's the former state historian for the Minnesota National Guard. Major Effort, welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Major, as General McKinley mentioned, the National Guard will be celebrating its birthday here in December. Can you tell us about the origins and, at first glance, how can it be 374 years old when the country was born in 1776?
Right, and that's a great question. Well, we have to go back to 1636 at the Massachusetts Bay Colony. With that settlement there, at about that time, they had 5,000 men, women, and children and needed some kind of protection. And they didn't have any money for mercenaries at that time, which would have been common to hire mercenaries. And so they decided to fall back on the English tradition of forming militias. And during that time, then all able men ages 16 to 60 minus the clergy and judges were required to participate in military training. And very similar to what we do today, they would probably over periods a couple times a month would have drill and practice firing rifles and then would go back to their old jobs, whether it be a farmer or some kind of smith.
So at that time, before the country was formed, this was just a way of protecting themselves against whatever might come.
Absolutely, and that tradition is carried on today. And really, there aren't many institutions in the United States that are much older. Harvard started the exact same year, and it's very difficult to find any organization or institution of continuous service that's been around that long. As a matter of fact, in the entire world, it's very difficult to find any military organization that has been continuously around there. Only you can look up and find perhaps a couple out of England, but of course that country's been around a lot longer than we have. And I believe the Swiss Guards at the Vatican might be a little older, but that's about it. And despite being 374 years old. This tradition is pretty much held pretty much the same. Citizens, soldiers come to the aid of their country when they need it, whether it be domestic or on foreign soil.
So, Major, the Massachusetts National Guard can trace its origins right back to 1636?
They sure can. And as a matter of fact, of the three regiments that they had at that time, they still have units that are in direct lineage with those original three.
So the United States, for a pretty young country, our military and our military connection goes back 374 years.
Right. Way. And the interesting thing is the active duty Army and Navy, they only go back to 1775. We've been around a lot longer than they have.
Major, any way of knowing how many conflicts the National Guard's been involved in over 374 years?
Well, I guess the simple answer is we've been involved with all of them, and whether it be the French-Indian Wars, and probably the most famous one that people remember is the Minuteman during the American Revolution, but even some ones like, let's say, the Whiskey Rebellion that was internal conflict. But from the American Revolution all the way till today, and even ones, you know, people don't really associate the National Guard with Vietnam, but over 20 different units were activated from 17 different states to serve in Vietnam. And, of course, today the National Guard is you know, one of the main contributors to our conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. And our own Red Bulls here have been part of that for, you know, longer than they served longer continuously than any other unit over there.
We're speaking to Major Blaine Iffert, the former state historian for the Minnesota National Guard, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on KTalk 100.3 FM. So, Major, we've tracked the history of the Guard back to 1636. The Minnesota Guard actually goes back to before Minnesota was formed, isn't it?
Absolutely right. We were formed officially in 1856. And have been, and if you recall from previous conversations, Minnesota National Guard and the state was the first to volunteer troops to President Lincoln for the Civil War. And then during World War II, of course, our 34th ID Red Bulls, they were the first unit to engage with the enemy in Europe and served and had more combat days than anyone else.
So the National Guard goes back a long way. And for our listeners that don't know it, the Minnesota National Guard actually has two missions, a federal mission and a state mission.
Absolutely right. Our state mission, we are on Title 32, and we report to the governor. And then our federal mission, we're on Title 10, and the commander-in-chief is the president.
Major, any suggestions on how we should celebrate the National Guard's birthday?
Well, I think what most soldiers like, if you see a young man or woman out there in uniform, shake their hand, say thank you for your service. I think that makes their day, and know that that the people that served before him or her goes a long, long way.
Major Iffert, thank you for your service, and thank you for joining us today. That was Major Blaine Iffert, the former state historian of the Minnesota National Guard. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Want to know what's on the mind of Minnesota's Adjutant General? Generally Speaking is next on KTalk 100.3 FM. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Hi, this is Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, and I want to send holiday greetings to all of our men and women in the United States military who serve us so courageously and bravely. We appreciate your service and your sacrifice, and we know that it's a burden on you and your family. But we wouldn't have the country we have without all of you. We appreciate you, we respect you, and we wish you and your family a joyous holiday season. Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. It's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Tomorrow, December 13th, our National Guard celebrates 374 years of service. This continues a heritage that began in 1636 when the Massachusetts Bay Colony's militia companies were organized and became our first organized defense forces. Today, National Guard units from across the nation, including more than 300 from Minnesota, will mark the occasion from Afghanistan and Iraq. They continue to build on this proud heritage as they serve overseas and perform missions their predecessors could never have envisioned. In 1856, 2 years before Minnesota gained statehood, the Minnesota Pioneer Guards formed in St. Paul. This territorial militia provided the foundation for an armed force that would distinguish itself in the Civil War, Spanish-American War, World Wars I and II, Korea, Vietnam, the Balkans, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Contributions of the Minnesota National Guard to our nation are legendary. The 1st Minnesota Infantry Regiment was the first militia in the nation to respond to President Lincoln's call for troops in April of 1861. The 109th Observation Squadron of the Minnesota National Guard became the first Air National Guard unit in the country in 1921. In World War II, a tank company of the Minnesota National Guard from Brainerd was ordered to the Philippines in 1941 to shore up American defenses against Japan. They were pushed from the Bataan Peninsula and ultimately endured the Bataan Death March. F-16s from the Duluth-based 148th Fighter Wing were among the first units to scramble after the attacks of 9/11. Minnesota National Guard troops have served peacekeeping roles in Bosnia and Kosovo. The Minnesota National Guard's 1st Brigade of the 34th Infantry Division served 16 months in combat during the troop surge in Iraq, the longest combat deployment of any military unit during that campaign. And at this time last year, the 34th Division Red Bulls were leading all U.S. military forces in 9 out of 18 provinces in Iraq, protecting a population of 10.5 million people and training and advising over 40,000 Iraqi police, border enforcement officials, and their soldiers. At the same time, we continue to support our governor here in Minnesota, performing critical missions to defend the homeland against attacks on our soil and support our civil authorities when disasters strike. The National Guard has never been more central to our nation's defense or more important to the success of our Army and Air Force. The respect and gratitude shown by the American people for our citizen soldiers and airmen have never been greater. I extend my heartfelt gratitude to the citizen soldiers and airmen who continue to ensure the National Guard is always ready, always there. Happy birthday, National Guard.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. This week, Ken Rail joins us. He is director of the Yellow Ribbon Community of Southeast Minnesota. Mr. Rail, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Mr. Rail, can you tell us about your involvement in the Yellow Ribbon Community, how that came to be, and what drove you to get Southeast Minnesota proclaimed as one?
Well, we are just simply a group of concerned citizens that formed together here about a year and a half ago. We really got our act together, I guess, in July of 2009, and just a whole bunch of folks that have a passion for serving military families. We've got committee members who are moms. We have some veteran service representatives and just some people from the community who came together to see how could we help military families, in particular those that are undergoing a deployment. So that's really kind of what's driven us. And I'm a retired Army guy. I spent 23 years on active duty and retired in 1994. But my passion is to try to serve our troops as well, especially our Guard and Reserve troops who are facing multiple deployments, which I think is the first time this has ever happened in our nation's history. So that's a little bit of our background.
Colonel Rail, I understand that in that many years in the military, you've been deployed a few times yourself. Would that have a direct impact on you wanting to get involved in the Yellow Ribbon programs?
Absolutely. When I was deployed on active duty, whatever post my family was at, that post was able to provide lots of great and direct support for my family. If my toilet clogged up, you know, my wife called the post engineers and they came and fixed it. And if my car needed fixing, I could go to the post auto repair shop. And if my kids had problems in school, the teachers knew exactly what to do because they helped military kids all the time. And I have to try and translate that concept to a National Guard family in Preston, Minnesota, or in Zumbrota, and what happens when they go on active duty and serve our country in Afghanistan or Iraq. And the whole idea there is the community can and the region can help come together and provide some of those services and really help those families in their time of need.
Colonel, how many people are involved in the Southeastern Minnesota Yellow Ribbon community effort?
You know, we've got a core group of about 15 people who spend an awful lot of time, and they're all, except for me, primarily fully employed all the time. But and then we have a wider group of about 35 to 50 volunteers who will come and stuff an envelope or cook a hot dog or show up at an event for us. So pretty good group of folks, not only here in Rochester, but some folks in Pine Island, Red Wing, you know, throughout the southeast Minnesota that come and help us.
Sir, you were proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon community on 22nd September 2010 by the governor and the adjutant general.
Yeah, what a thrill that was. We're so glad that Rochester and Olmsted County, which is really what beyond the Yellow Ribbon, southeast Minnesota, those are the two entities represented. But we're so thrilled that the community's efforts were recognized. We just have a wonderful community here. There are so many partners here that help us either through an event or funding or whatever it is we need. We just simply have to ask, and the community opens its doors for us.
We're speaking with Ken Rail, director of the Yellow Ribbon Community of Southeast Minnesota, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on KTOC 100.3 FM. Colonel Rail, can you tell us a little bit about the process of becoming Yellow Ribbon?
Well, sure. It's one of those things where through the auspices of the Minnesota National Guard, there's a way of receiving some training and then also putting together what we call an action plan. And that action plan basically details, you know, what are you and the community and what is this group intending to do? What would be your plan for the next 3 to 5 years in helping military families? You know, would you be able to provide services? Will you honor them? What would you do? And how could you participate in community education, for example? So we put our action plan together, you know, between July and really, I suppose, January of this past year, January 2010, and submitted it. And, you know, the Minnesota National Guard reviewed it and sent it to the governor's office, and they approved it. And that's what led to the Yellow Ribbon recognition.
Colonel Rail, can you tell us what type of support you provide to the families of deployed Guards members in the Rochester area?
Well, sure. We're not all things to all people, but I think the best thing I would describe this as being an information and a coordination source. We have access to lots of community support organizations, churches, businesses, various places that would like to help military families, and we try to get the families then hooked up with whatever service or perhaps provision that they would need. We've helped a family move from point A to point B. We've helped a U.S. Army Reserve family fill out some paperwork so they could get some free child respite care. We've provided some expertise in providing some home fixer-uppers, some things where we have some veterans who are willing to go out and for low cost or no cost, you know, go out and help a deployed family if they had an issue with, you know, something as simple as a leaky faucet. So those are the kinds of things we've been able to do, and with the upcoming deployment that's going to happen not only with the National Guard but several other Army Reserve units here in the coming year, we expect to be really tested here in this coming year.
Sir, I understand one of your network's biggest successes was in the area of events for the families. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, we've just gone out to our military families and said, you know, what we want to do is provide something, a free event for military families every month here. And we were able to do that the entire year this past year. So we'd partner with a local business like House of Bounce, which let us use their bouncing facilities and their laser tag for free. Then we also just recently had the Minnesota Ice Hawks, our semi-pro hockey team here on November the 6th, had a free hockey game. But before the game, they let us use one of their meeting rooms, and we bought pizzas and drinks for everybody. And when we were done eating, the kids and the families got to go out and skate with the Minnesota Ice Hawks players for an hour and a half before the game. And then they were asked to help present a very large American flag on the ice as for the national anthem at the start of the game. So that's kind of what we've done. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Rochester Community and Technical College. Their student body has just gone out just tremendously. They did a huge, big spring fling kind of project, an event for our families back in April of this past year. And then they did twice now, have done a huge Halloween party. I'm 61 years old, and let me tell you, the last two Halloween parties they put on for us were the best parties I've ever been to. So just a thrill. The kids had a blast, lots of games, lots of things to do, and And so we are really able to connect with the military families through these events. They get to know us. You know, it really takes a trust factor for the military families. If they're going to ask for a service or want to do something that they need during deployment, they have to know who we are and what we can do for them. So that's just been a thrill. We're so honored to honor these families the way we've been able to do that with our events.
Sir, you're doing a great job in southeastern Minnesota. Thank you for your efforts, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to tell everyone else about Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, southeast Minnesota.
That was Ken Rail, the director of Yellow Ribbon Community of southeastern Minnesota. We've linked to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. For more information on bringing service members all the way home, visit BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, featuring information on community-supported fund that strives to make the difference in the life of service members and their military families. Families of deployed service members are often forced to deal with troubles and hardships of everyday life on their own. While the financial details that help a family get by can be settled before a service member leaves, the unexpected can happen at any time. Water heaters break, cars need repairs, and financial emergencies crop up, leaving deployed service members stressed and families back home worried. Yet with the help of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, military spouses like Jeanette can get the support they need when problems emerge. When the transmission on Jeanette's sedan went out last winter, the Family Foundation stepped in to secure a grant for repairs for her car that were needed. With the help she received, Jeanette was able to once again get her daughter to daycare and herself to work. Her husband, no longer distracted by events back home that were out of his control, could refocus on his mission overseas. Through the sale of Support Our Troops license plates, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation gathers funds to support families of deployed soldiers, easing the burden for them. You can find more information on that organization by going to the MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org. Thank you to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation for recognizing how Minnesotans strive to go beyond the yellow ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. It also connects organizations, agencies, and companies to provide resources and support to service members and their families. And it is united to bring service members all the way home. To learn how you can make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org. After the break, we visit the Commissioner's Corner on KTOC 100.3. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Staff Sergeant Ashley Lalikas. I'm stationed here at Bagram Airfield, Afghanistan. I'd like to give a big shout-out to my family in southwest Minnesota. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and happy new year.
Bells will be ringing. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Office of the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Deputy Commissioner Gil Acevedo.
Nationwide, veterans make up one-third of our homeless population. Minnesota faces similar challenges with a growing number of homeless veterans around the state. I'm proud to say that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is working to address this challenge. In October, our Benefits and Outreach Division teamed up with the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans and a local shelter to launch a nation-leading program called MOVE, which stands for Minnesota Operation for Veterans Empowerment. MOVE provides crucial services such as lodging, voicemail, transportation, job counseling, and access to benefits to help homeless and underserved veterans. One of the unique elements of this program is a case management system that helps veterans set individualized goals. This pilot program is based heavily on efforts started by the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, or MACV. They have spent many years focused on helping homeless and underserved veterans around the state, and we are very pleased to be a partner with them on this initiative. This program is also a great example of our partnership with the Federal VA, who recently set an initiative to end homelessness among U.S. military veterans by 2015. The VA has asked its partners to work together to reach this goal. By taking care of the basic needs, MOVE veterans are empowered to take steps to regain their independence and self-sufficiency. These men and women are veterans who joined the military because they were committed to the principles this country is built on. This is a chance for us to acknowledge that some of our veterans are not getting the help they need. The MOVE program is partnering with the Union Gospel Mission in St. Paul. The program provides qualified veterans access to double occupancy rooms, offering more privacy than a large communal bed space offered to typical shelter clients. Over the course of 30 days, they work with an MDVA case manager to set individualized goals and benchmarks to ensure they're meeting the set goal. Case managers utilize a network of federal, state, and county resources, providing everything from internet access and voicemail to transportation, job counseling, and access to federal and state veteran benefits. MDVA hopes to further develop this pilot program and use it as a model for other shelters.
Thank you, Mr. Acevedo. You can find out more about Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs at minnesotaveteran.org or 1-888-LINK-VET. Each week, we explore the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs' commitment to serving Minnesota veterans, their dependents, and survivors by securing benefits provided by federal and state laws. This week, Bonnie Buford joins us. She is the Veterans Assistant Supervisor for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Ms. Buford, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be here.
I understand we're going to talk today about a program called MOVE, MOVE. Can you tell me what that stands for and what this program is about?
Yes, MOVE stands for the Minnesota Operation for Veterans Empowerment. And the key word in that acronym is the word empowerment. We coordinate efforts with the Union Gospel Mission in St. Paul, the men's shelter there. And we establish a case management. We establish veterans who want to participate in a case management program. And for those that want to participate in a program, we have 4 beds available specifically designated for veterans at the mission.
Okay, let me catch up here now. You're part of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and you're working on a new program called MOVE, Minnesota Operation for Veterans Empowerment, which is an initiative to help end veteran homelessness. Is that right?
Yes.
And the pilot program here in Minnesota is in partnership with the Union Gospel Mission.
Yes.
Now, I understand that, and you don't have to give me exact answers, but I understand there's over 400,000 veterans in Minnesota. Do we have any idea how many of those veterans might be homeless?
On average, across the nation and in the states, the statistics range from 1/3 to 1/4 of any homeless population are veterans.
And do we have any statistics that show us, were they in a downward spiral? What leads veterans to become homeless?
A large majority are those that do need psychological help and just budgeting type issues, health issues such as PTSD. A large percentage are Vietnam veterans, and a growing number are the Iraqi veterans as well. And there's 90% of the veteran population are men that are homeless, and 10% are women, typically.
So some of the older veterans, my generation, that might have been post-traumatic stress or unemployment or some kind of a downward spiral, and they end up being out on the street. And you indicated that the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, some of them are having some problems as well?
Yes.
Similar type problems as to my generation?
PTSD is a big issue amongst the newer the OEF, OIF veterans, yes.
Okay, and in this new pilot program that you're working on is to try to help bring some of those folks off the streets, and what type of assistance are you giving those veterans in this pilot program?
We do an initial assessment. We actually go to the mission every Wednesday. We have a caseworker who goes to the mission every Wednesday. And we stay there for an hour and a half, and we visit with veterans. And as part of our assessment, there are a few things that we ask them. And the critical word is empowerment. on our assessment, we want them to check off a series of items that they would like to work on. And so once they check them off, we meet with them. The program is designed for an initial 30 days. And so there's a lot to accomplish in a 30-day period. Some of the things that they opt to work on are housing, obtaining employment, obtaining Social Security disability, obtaining federal benefits, federal VA benefits such as VA comp and VA pension, legal services, chemical dependency treatment, and dental and optical, along with some voc rehab training as well.
We're speaking with Bonnie Buford from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs here on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on KTOC 100.3 FM. Ms. Buford, how many veterans are in the program? How many are you trying to help?
Currently, we have room for four veterans. We pay for four beds. And so that's on a rotating monthly basis, regardless of whether or not the beds are full. And so currently, just the initial pilot are the four beds there at the mission.
So each week you try to talk to homeless veterans and assess them and try to figure out who to move into the program next. Once they're in the program, you try to figure out what type of problems they might have been helping and what type of benefits they're eligible for. Is that what you
do? Yes.
And then how about the graduates? If you had any graduates yet, where do they graduate to? Do they go out and go to work? Do they get benefits? How do you help them during that 30 days?
Well, this started October 1st, 2010, and we have had two veterans in the program. And one in particular is a great success story. He had already been working on finding a job, but the beauty of this program is that with a case manager, someone paying that special attention to him and him not having to, he had been staying at the mission for a long time, but just the fact that he didn't have to worry about whether or not he was going to get a bed, whether he was going to have to sit through the lottery and perhaps not get a bed, he could focus on getting a job throughout the day. We also provided transportation for him. He had no money, zero income, and so we were able to get some bus passes for him. He had many interviews along the way. He did end up getting a job, and we're just extremely ecstatic. He just to see his countenance change in just a couple of days, knowing that someone and a whole department, it's not only just someone, it wasn't just the case manager working with him. He had a whole department, a State Department and a federal VA working on his behalf.
So you saw him recover his confidence and be able to move out.
Yes.
As if this pilot program is successful, how do you plan to expand the program?
We would like to expand. Every time folks hear about it, they're wondering if we can bring it into their community. Different county veteran service officers that hear about it would like to know if we could expand it into their area. So we are looking forward to doing that.
Ms. Buford, thanks for your great work. And as an old Vietnam veteran, I hope your program is tremendously successful and we get as many homeless veterans off the street as we can. Ms. Buford, thanks for joining us on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. That was Bonnie Buford, Veterans Service Assistant Supervisor with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We have more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. To find out more about the programs provided by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, go to MinnesotaVeteran.org or call 1-888-LINKVET. When we return, we take a look at the Minnesota organization's positive impact on returning veterans. That's next on KTOC 100.3 FM. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
This Sergeant First Class David Fletcher from 367 Engineers out of Shakopee, Minnesota, wishing my family, my wife, Gianna, my son, Julian, and my daughter, Sydney, happy holidays. Love you guys. Miss you very much.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. This week, Linda Ball joins us. She's Executive Director of Positive Perspectives Assistant Dogs. Ms. Ball, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you so much for having us.
Can you tell us a little bit about Positive Perspectives Assistance Dogs? Easy for me to say. Please tell me a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, Positive Perspectives Assistance Dogs, or PAW Pads for short, it's a lot easier, Was founded out in Oregon about 4 or 5 years ago. We relocated it to Minnesota about 2 years ago, and it was the best move we could have made. So our goal is to train assistance dogs for people with physical disabilities as well as diabetic alert dogs. But it's our strong belief that the process of training these amazing dogs has some therapeutic, educational, and vocational components that we should use. And so we have developed several programs, and the one that I'm here to talk to you about today is called Paw Corps, where we're working with veterans with post-traumatic stress as they train the dogs for placement with veterans with new physical disabilities.
So, Ms. Ball, your program is to help train dogs for veterans that might have some type of physical disability when they come back, but you've discovered that you've discovered a new source of people to help you train dogs that get something from it too as well, don't you?
Exactly. It takes a lot of emotional regulation and patience to train these dogs. And so these are skills that a lot of people who have suffered traumatic experiences kind of need to relearn or redevelop. And so it helps us to get more dogs trained to get placed with people and veterans with physical disabilities. And it helps them by training new emotional competencies.
So you're actually helping some of our veterans that come back with troubles like PTSD, post-traumatic stress, to get some help for themselves by helping you train these dogs.
Exactly. We have several veterans in the program right now with diagnosed PTSD, and the results we're seeing are phenomenal. I knew that it would be good. I didn't know it would be this good. We are seeing one veteran was on 9 different medications. He's now on 1. Another veteran had lost his license and for 5 years didn't have the reason to go through the process of getting it back. And he is getting it back this week because he doesn't want to miss time training with the dogs.
We're speaking with Linda Ball, the Executive Director of Positive Perspectives Assistance Dogs, on Minnesota Military Radio Hour on KTOC 100.3 FM. I hope our listeners could hear that. I think we heard from another voice in the studio. You brought a four-legged friend with you. Can you tell me about her?
I did. I brought Macy, who through the rest of this hour has been just laying quietly, but now she realizes we're on the radio, and she's a little bit of a diva.
She wants to talk to the veteran that helped train her.
She does.
And you're seeing some changes in these veterans that help you train the dogs.
I am. I'm seeing them smile more. I'm hearing from their spouses that they aren't having as many night terrors and that they're easier to live with. And I'm hearing from them that they're feeling like they're giving back to their fellow veterans and that they're feeling calmer and more in control. We take the dogs, for example, to malls to train. Most of our veterans are very, very nervous in a mall. It's a very anxious place to be. And yet here they are working for 3, 4, 5 hours in a mall, and they're communicating. The public is coming up and talking to them. We're just seeing some really exciting things happen.
So it's helping them sort out some problems while they're helping train the puppies.
Exactly.
How is the Paw Corps funded, and what are your plans for the future?
You know, currently we're funded through the generosity of individual donors and philanthropic organizations such as Tee It Up for the Troops. There is a bill in the Senate right now that would offer potential funding to the VA to support us, and we're keeping our fingers crossed on that. Until then, or if that happens, we're seeking partnerships and donations, both monetary and in-kind donations, to keep our support for our veterans going.
And last question, how can our listeners learn more about how to connect with Paw Pads?
Well, we would love to hear from people. Our website is www.pawpads.org. We're also on Facebook. And we're a small organization with big things happening. So we would love to have support and any questions sent our way.
Thanks, Linda, and a special thanks to our four-legged friend, Macy, for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
We've linked to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Now it's time to take a look in the mailbag to see the listener question of the week. Joining me in the studio is the Director of Public Affairs for the Minnesota National Guard, Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Olson. Colonel, what's in our mailbag today?
Well, hello, Tom. And, you know, as we're getting ready for the holidays, you know, hundreds of Minnesota service members, they won't be at home for the holidays. And we get a lot of questions about how folks can remember our service members and our families. So the question of this week in our mailbag is, how do I show support this holiday season to service members and families? And there's just so many ways. We've heard from so many great groups over the last few weeks about how they can help families and how they can help service members.
Colonel, if I could ask you one preliminary question that's really important that I've learned from you over the last couple of years.
I'm listening, Tom.
If our listeners want to do something to help, they need to find out how to do it efficiently and how to do it right before they start doing something.
You are correct. There are so many systems in place. We get so many great ideas, and we found that people can really plug into an existing program, or they can take their groups, their businesses, or their individual efforts and plug into an existing program. The least that people need to know is that at beyondtheyellowribbon.org, so many of these great groups are listed, and some of them really showcase some of the holiday programs that they have as well.
So start there first, beyondtheyellowribbon.org, and the type of things they can do to help, sir.
Well, first and foremost, and you don't need to get approval for this, if you know a military service member, if you know a family, simply thank them. A simple thank you goes a long way. Essentially, people have time or they have money that they'd like to donate. If you'd like to spend some time with a family, again, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and the Military Family Care Initiative is a great place to start. A nonprofit organization also called the Minnesota Veteran Family Support Entity that believes that they can provide several programs and support if you're looking to donate your time that way. If you'd like to dedicate some money, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation is a great place to start. And a portion of that also goes to license plates. So I encourage folks, if you'd like to show support to service members or families this holiday season, go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and see what you can do to help our folks out.
And for our listeners, before you start, we love the fact that you want to help support the troops. Please go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org, find out how to do it right, and then continue to support us, but do it the right way. Don't start something without going through that process.
That's exactly it, Tom.
Thanks, Colonel Olson. And if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us on Facebook and at the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.com. Let us know what's on your mind. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Major Blaine Effort from the Minnesota National Guard, Ken Rail from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Community of Southeast Minnesota, Bonnie Buford from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Linda Ball from Positive Perspectives Assistance Dogs, the Deputy Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Gil Acevedo, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. And, of course, we were pleased to hear from four-star General Craig McKinley from the National Guard and the Governor Tim Pawlenty. Please join us for this special live taping of our show this coming Friday at 1 o'clock at the Mall of America, where we'll be talking about the Marines and Toys for Tots, the skills service members need to maintain relationships through a deployment, and community services available to support troops in Minnesota. That's this Friday at 1 o'clock at the Mall of America. For more details, visit us on Facebook at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.